Today's sermon is called Comforting Hope. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the days of old, and we're talking here about Roman Empire and before, and if we're going that far back to the Roman Empire, we might as well say we're talking biblical times, right? Kings traveled a little bit differently than in today's jet age and spaceships and all that. Roads to a distant country back in biblical times had to be scouted out, not only for dangers along the way for security of the king, but also the roads probably had to be improved to make sure the journey would be safe. No rock slides from above and no narrow roads that are in danger of collapse into the valleys below. The king often had an entourage, so that, you know, many carts of supplies and all kinds of people with him. And so this was not something to be taken lightly. And the road had to be sturdy enough to make sure that all this stuff and everything else needed could get there in safety when the king made a journey to a distant land. It was not an undertaking to be taken lightly. And it often took several weeks to prepare the way. So, for me, I guess I'm a little surprised when John the Baptist tells us that we need to prepare the way for the Lord, the King of Kings, right? Because our God is a God and King who isn't seen, who doesn't make journeys on roads or bridges. And yet we're told we have to prepare the way. Paths and roads made straight and smooth. Whatever for? The word Malachi means my messenger. And in the time of that writing, the Jews had been conquered by the Babylonians, shipped off to exile, liberated by the Persians, sent back to Jerusalem to rebuild. But in all that, they were still vassals of one foreign empire or another. It had been over 100 years since they were a free people. And there were many who had wearied of the Lord's promises and prophets. The people said that perhaps God must delight in those who do wrong because there's so much suffering. They prayed and could not figure out where God's will was in the world. And they asked where the God of justice can be found. Does this sound familiar to our ears? The people of ancient times and Jesus' time and both our own time, we seem to have this acute problem with God. That there is, or maybe there should be, an immediate reward or retribution based on obedience to God's commands. And it brings into focus that there's a question of God's justice in all the world's circumstances. Do we ever feel like that? That where is God in today's troubles? Why doesn't the planet just cool off for a while and we can live our lives in a carbon-soaked bliss? Why do we have to focus on race in just about everything these days? Why do the rich get ever richer? So much so that if we added up all the wealth of America's billionaires, that dollar amount would be more than the GDP of Japan. And yet these folks pay almost nothing in taxes. Now, does this sound familiar? We've talked about this, how God patiently listens to our laments. The kingdom is always coming and God will always save. But we can't just skip to that end. If we want to have justice, we have to change. But repentance in the Bible means what? What does the word repent mean? That's right, it means turn around. And turning around our life either individually or as a society can be pretty jarring. It's often not a joyous expectation or experience if we're told what we need to do, just like the climate change bit. In order to achieve the end game of saving our planet as we know it, we're going to have to do all kinds of stuff that we don't like. And in ancient times, it was called a time of purification, this responding to a call for God's justice. But too often we think that relief for the many means judgment on the few and powerful. We too often want a justice that punishes and not restores. We want to know that those who caused us to suffer will also suffer too. Is that God's way? In modern life, we're told that if we want something, then we have to go out and get it. If someone's wronged us, then we have to go and tell somebody about it. And if we want success, we've got to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We are, after all, masters and mistresses of our destiny, right? Isn't that how we were conditioned by the folks around us from the time we were knee-high to a grasshopper? If we need purification, then let's figure out what's needed and go get it, because we want to skip to that end game. God's promises kept, but kept as we envision them, and enemies overthrown as we define them. Because we want success without the struggle. We want justice without knowing exactly what justice is.